You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, April 10th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning alongside Matt Modica, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. I am Greg Sussman. Tonight is the first night of Passover, everybody. So happy Passover to both of you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Due to that, I will not be here tomorrow. But we'll be back Wednesday and ready to go. Good Friday is Friday. Corey will not be here because it's a good Friday. Some would say the best Friday because Corey will be here. What's up, man? How was your weekend, Corey?
My weekend was pretty... I had a rough weekend, to be honest with you.
You was pretty good.
I'll be honest. Let me start off on an honest tip. I didn't have the best weekend. I had a lot of different things going on. But I'm here to serve the fantasy community this morning. I'm here to serve the listeners of the Roto Experts in the Morning, like I've been doing for the last 6 years. So there you go right there. They've tried to stop me on many of occasions, but the fantasy executive still rises.
You can't keep a good man down.
You cannot do it. It cannot be done.
Yeah. Something like that. Matt, how was your weekend, man?
Weekend was all right. I'm excited, though. I believe every day this week there will be day baseball.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah. I like that.
It's always nice. Today we have a early bird special with James Paxton and Charlie Morton.
How about that? Get up for James Paxton and Charlie Morton. Take two.
I honestly do hate when the... when my starting pitcher has to face the same team in 1 week.
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I don't like that either. I had a very frustrating weekend myself. So in my head-to-head in my league, I was crushing it all week. I was winning all my hitting categories, my pitching categories. I was winning them a little bit. So I was benching pitchers all week, right? Like, I wasn't starting anybody in Colorado. I wasn't, like, messing with the Eduardo Rodriguez's of the world. I was just not fooling around. But I was down two saves. I was like, you know what? Let me just leave my closers in there yesterday. I'd like to name you my closers from yesterday. We can get into this. I'm not going to have a whole closer conversation, just one major closer conversation, which we'll have to...
We're going to have to have
it.
Yeah,
we are going to have to address the situation.
We're going to have to have some...
There was some crazy stuff going on.
We're going to have some Undertaker music behind that as well.
Yes.
So you know Bavona. My closers yesterday were Jenmar Gomez, as you know.
Yep.
With him momentarily.
Sound buddy.
I picked up, as I told you on Friday, Matt... I picked up Cody Glover as well. And I had Edwin Diaz as my top closer. So those are my closers yesterday. I went from winning my week 10-4, great week, 14 categories, I won 10-4, to tying 7-7, all in the matter of a half hour due to those three guys.
Yeah, there were some drone strikes that occurred yesterday.
And they all involved me! Not to sound like every other fantasy analyst ever that only cares about themselves, that was like, oh my god, I can't believe this. Why did you do this to me, Jenmar? Well, you know what, Jenmar? Nobody supported you like I did. Nobody.
You were savaged the other day on Twitter. I saw you.
Savaged?
I like
it. And I defended him, and now Pete Mackin's not happy with him.
No.
Pete Mackin's a little upset with him. Even though they won, he got a win, Corey.
They sit down, it's coming.
Listen, when you blow the save so bad, you get a win. I don't know how to feel about you, but Jenmar did get us a win. He got us the win. It wasn't all for naught. He got the W.
Yeah.
It wasn't all for naught. That's no problem. I needed wins. I needed wins more than I needed saves.
I did it.
That sometimes is the case.
I needed a win more than I needed a save.
I didn't.
No, you didn't, Greg.
No.
In Jenmar's defense, though, I mean, Edwin Diaz got blown up. Kelvin Herrera blew a save. I mean, there were some. Kenley Jansen's gave up a couple of runs. I mean, there were some top-notch closers that got hit pretty hard yesterday.
Yeah. So I don't think that defense is going to work for Jenmar. We'll get into that in just a second. Because over this weekend, I want to start with the biggest sporting event of the weekend, because that's what I feel like. It's on most people's minds, and at least it's on my minds, and that is Masters Sunday. Because a lot of people don't love golf in general. It's not a sport you're going to follow intently. I mean, some people do, of course. Mike Leone was 2 points away from winning $1 million yesterday. So it's like, a lot of people are very much into golf. But I'd say most people, you watch the majors, and even more so than that, you watch the Masters, because it's a tradition unlike any other. But like, those couple weekends here, you got March Madness, you got WrestleMania on a Sunday, then you have, it was really, then you had the Masters Sunday, the next week's really supposed to be Game of Thrones Sunday, because they kind of blew that until July. But like, this little pocket here is an awesome pocket of sports. It is an awesome pocket of entertainment. And Sunday at the Masters is a thing. Like, mm-hmm. you get home from whatever you're doing, and I was in Central Park, Corey playing spike ball yesterday.
Oh my God.
And it's very a lot of spike. There's a lot of spike ball in the park yesterday.
That's from Shock Tank, right?
It is, yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of people came up to us and was like, "Oh, is it just like anyone walks up to play?" We're like, "No, we're friends. Like we're playing. So we can't just play. No, you can't play with that. No." And then a girl, then some father came up and was like, "Oh, my son's the best spike ball player ever. He plays professionally." I'm like, "Great. I don't. Just playing. Please leave." Anyway, but like we played spike ball until like 3-ish, and then you go home, you plop yourself on the couch, and you watch the Masters. It's like a thing, at least I know it, I have been doing since I was a kid with my grandfather and my father. We all just sat on the couch and watch Masters Sunday, and I know that's a thing for a lot of people. And yesterday, it started out as a day with a leaderboard as packed as you could possibly have it, with Jordan Spieth up there, with Ricky Fowler up there, with Roy McIlroy was in the hunt. Of course, Sergio and Justin Rose. I mean, you had some major, major, major names that were in there. The only one that wasn't there, of course, was Dustin Johnson, because, you know, he was off the prison for the night. So
he was what?
What?
What happened?
No.
Thought you said prison. Prison.
I did. I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Make it a quick joke there.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I, when I hear prison, I perk up.
I noticed that, yeah. So, anyway, so all of these names are on the board. Then when I plopped down, ready to go, they kept showing me other names. They kept showing me other people. And like, Matt Kuchar's hole-in-one was unbelievable. And you had a couple of guys make some runs. Like Charles Schwartzel made a run at one point. Thomas Peters made a run. But it never felt real. It was a two-man race from the time I sat down for the last 4 hours of this thing to the end. And that two-man race was why you watch the Masters on Sunday. It's why you get into it, because you feel the backstory. You feel like we talked about, Corey, we talk about on the air and off the air a lot, faces and heels in sports, right? Like good guys, yeah, and bad guys. And Sergio Garcia in 1999, when he came onto the scene at the Masters, and he was this amateur, and he was a little amateur, and he was going to be the one to challenge Tiger. It was going to be Sergio and Tiger forever. That never came to be. It was Tiger and Phil for a very long time, but it was never Sergio and Tiger. And 73 majors later, here Sergio was still without one. Now, Sergio went from being a very big face back in 1999, this young kid from Spain who's going to challenge Tiger, to a guy that every time he got up to the ball,
he
went like this 20 times. He broke his wrist 20 times, literally 20 or 21, before he would hit the ball. So much so that the PGA was like, you can't do that. Like, you are... Boy.
So he was like a dude from Spain coming to take a going to favorite. Kind of like when a homeboy came to face Ricky Bobby.
In a way, but not really.
Okay.
Right. So he...
That was a good analogy.
No, but this one, I'm quite sure it's very similar.
I don't think so.
Well, no, the guy from Spain...
Ali G from Spain wasn't really a dick. he was a dick. I mean, Sergio's not really a dick. And he's from France.
Yeah. Right. Same thing. Yeah.
Nevertheless, he would literally go up to the ball and
do his wrist
20 times.
That's a lot.
And the PGA was like, stop. Everyone, and he got booed at the Masters.
Oh, that's tough. That's supposed to
years
be
years ago. This is years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, he's not supposed to boo at the Masters.
So, because he would just take so long. It was like, enough. And he would get in his own head. And he admittedly would get in his own head. And yesterday was major number 74 in a row for Sergio Garcia. He's never won one. He was in the top three of players that have played in majors and never won one, like amount of majors. I know Jay Haas is ahead of him. One other person's ahead of him. And so Sergio gets there, and all of a sudden he gets to the back nine, and you know, Sergio basically tied going to the back nine, and it was just bogey. Bogey, and he was just hitting him in the woods. I was like, all right, here comes the Sergio collapse we watch every single time. Mm. And then all of a sudden, he didn't
He didn't collapse.
Yeah. He came back. He had an unbelievable eagle at 15 after a birdie at 14. 16, he missed the putt, but he got it to par. 17, all of a sudden, Justin Rose bogeys. And now you are going to the 18th, tied at Augusta, what everyone is watching for. It was a match play between Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia all afternoon. And here they are at 18, tied. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is
pretty good.
This is drama. This is awesome.
Intense it was.
Intense. And at the Masters, Sergio, at that point, now completed his face turn because everyone, you wanted this dude to win. 37 years old, he's never won one, 73 in a row. And he was like, just win it, please.
Yeah.
And he gets there, and Justin Rose just misses a putt that he should have had, and he thought he had it, you thought he had it, he misses it. And there's Sergio, 10 feet away from winning the Masters.
Yeah.
And he strokes it, and it never has any chance of going in.
That was so Sergio.
At any point, you watch the crowd behind him just in disbelief. He's in disbelief, and you know what he's thinking, like, I did it again. And you're sitting at home thinking, he did it again. And I'm texting my friends, I'm like, he's petrified. He is absolutely petrified right now. How is he going to do this? So they go to the playoff, and I'm going to be honest with you. You get to the playoff, there was no chance Sergio had. Like, no chance.
I'm with you. I thought he had no chance either.
First shot, Justin Rose hits it in the woods. Sergio Garcia is right down the middle. Next shot, Rose barely touches it, and it goes, right next to Sergio's ball. Sergio lands it on the green. Justin Rose gives it a good shot to put some pressure on him, doesn't do it. And then he's got the two-putt for the win. And I'm happy he made it on the birdies. That was very cool. So Sergio puts it in, and there's the pure joy on his face and the excitement and, like, overcome with emotion and just a sigh of relief. And you finish seeing it home. I mean, I personally, listen, I watch golf, four times a year, the four majors. That's it. The Masters being the one that I will make sure that I'm home for on Sunday. And Sergio Garcia sits there. I had the goosebumps. I was like, holy crap, he did it. Like, I had the smile. You felt good for him. And I lost money because of it, but it didn't matter. And I just, you sat there so excited. And it was one of those things where it was just like, this is sports, This is what it is. Because I remember back 25 years ago, sitting watching Freddie Couples of the Masters with my grandfather. Now here I am in my apartment by myself watching Sergio Garcia. I mean, like, this is why I watch the Masters every year, every Sunday. And it was incredible, man.
It definitely was high drama. I had it on the big screen. I didn't even see Edwin Diaz. I didn't even know Edwin Diaz had a meltdown.
Yesterday. I didn't know he had it until 5 hours later.
Yeah, because I was definitely into this. I mean, the Masters isn't even my favorite major.
Really?
That's the U.S. Open, because that's, like, to me, that's the hardest one. Okay. Everybody barely makes par. That's what I like. That's what I want to see golfers do. Like, I want to see these great guys struggle. But, I mean, you really couldn't ask for more. And like you said, that 18th hole, when he missed that putt, I was like, oh, man, this guy just blew it. It's over. I thought he had no shot. And to see him win was, I was happy. I mean, all the hype that he had back in the day, like you were saying, he was like the European Tiger, and, it just never happened for him for a myriad of reasons. But, yesterday was his day. He got it done, and I was happy to see him do it.
Did you watch the Masters?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to watch too much of anything this weekend. But I was following along. I knew the drama was happening. I was seeing how it was taking place on Twitter. But I didn't actually get a chance to sit down and put the TV on.
It was, like I said, drama-full. It was exciting. And when he put that green jacket on, I was like, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool right there. Awesome. So shout out to Serge.
You know what Jim Nance's call was?
Oh, God.
So,
Was Tony Romo there?
He was not there.
Jeez.
I thought he could have been, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, little nod to... He'll be in uniform tomorrow, though.
That's terrible. No. Tomorrow.
He'll be in uniform tomorrow.
Why the hell is he putting a uniform on for the Mavericks?
I don't know.
Tony Romo day, but why does he have to wear the damn uniform? He's not going to play.
I don't know. If I'm Rick Carlisle, like, what the F is this? I mean, it's Mark Cuban getting people to the seats. I understand that, but...
It's Mickey Mouse.
Nevertheless, Jim Nance goes... Once and for a lifetime. There it goes. Didn't do it for you?
I may have to see it live.
Yeah, I watched it back a couple times to make sure I heard it correctly.
Did you like it?
No.
No?
There's no confetti falling. It was just like practice and rehearse. And, Jim Nance is so happy to be in Butler Cabin.
Oh yeah, Jim Nance, he was made for the Masters.
You know what? Golf's his best sport, I'll tell you that. No, for real. He's good at it. But look, Kevin. Hello, Jim Nance. Hello, it's so good to see you.
Yeah. Relax.
Thanks, Jim. It was awesome. The Masters is special. And now, as a community, it's all baseball now. There's nothing left but baseball.
There is Ranger hockey starting Wednesday night.
Playoff hockey this week. You got playoff basketball next week.
NFL draft in 2 weeks.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of things going on. I opened up my Tout Wars locker room to some new people. So at some point, I would like to give a chance to introduce my new people to my friends in the audience and to you too, gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that in the next 2 hours. Of course, talk about all the baseball from the weekend that we missed over the next 2 hours.
Can we introduce one of my new players now?
Okay. Well, you know what? I want to tell you who it is. I know you're excited. I want to have like a sound for it.
You got to tease it. You want to get the whole gang
in here to come in here at one time?
No.
Oh, we'll introduce player one by one.
One by one. We'll have some music play or something like that.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to do that in a little bit. When we come back, we're gonna have to put Jen Marr in the ground. we're going to have no choice.
Funeral for a friend?
No, we're not. We're going to have to.
We're going to have a funeral for a friend.
I'm coming to the service too.
Yeah. we all go to the funeral of Jen Marr Gomez next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. All right. This is the moment that I've been dreading since I drafted him.
Saying they know.
Mm-mm. About a couple weeks ago. Corey drafted him about a month and a half ago.
Oh, no.
He's been dreading it.
I never drafted him, for the record.
Mm-mm. I think Matt Modica has been, like,
I'm not going to believe it.
Excited about it.
I was actually rooting for you guys, to be honest. You guys seemed very enthused for Team Genmar. And you guys did support him. I will give you that. You had his back.
We can't do this yet, Greg. We can't do this yet.
Why?
Because the managers, they still have to have their talk. Oh, speaking of that, yeah. I think we'll have the sports psychologist in.
In studio?
In studio. That's what I'm working on.
Night? Yeah. When?
One day this week.
One day, hopefully not tomorrow. That'd be annoying.
That'd suck if it was tomorrow. I would hate to do that to
but
you.
Hey,
hopefully not Friday when you're here.
That would really suck.
That's
too.
That's it for you. Yeah,
we got a couple days that we can work with.
Well, we have Corey Schwartz in studio Thursday.
Yeah, Corey Schwartz will be in with us on Thursday.
So Wednesday would be very good for the sports psychologist.
Yeah, so no doubt about that.
Let's shoot for
I'm
that.
Waiting for Dr. Fader to get back to me.
So, yeah, we promised you a sports psychologist. It is our goal to get you a sports psychologist.
I think he works for the Giants.
I'm very excited.
He's the mental health director.
And we have a lot of questions for him.
Yep.
So I'm excited to hopefully get to talk to him this week. But it's time for a funeral for a friend. Cora Bavona, hit us with it, please. Here we go. You know,
say it ain't so.
We didn't want this to happen. We wanted to believe.
Jesus.
To think that they were all wrong. That Corey and I were the right ones, the geniuses. And here we are, officially 1 week into the MLB season. Jen Marr Gomez has converted one save, despite allowing some runs. Pitched a shot inning. Pitched great.
It's only 29 years old.
Too soon.
In game two, he gets blown up and blows a save.
But he's only 29 years old.
Pete Mackinnon says,
"Could die young."
After the first game, he's going to have to be better. After yesterday's game, I'm going to have to talk to him tomorrow.
It's just a talk.
I'll talk to you.
It's just a talk right now.
Jenmar Gomez.
No.
Jenmar Gomez.
It's like when your girlfriend has to talk to you.
It's time to say
no.
Goodbye. It's time to break up Jenmar. It's time to put you in the ground. And it is time for you to rest in peace.
They won the game yesterday.
Genmar Gomez picks up a win during the demise of Genmar.
Your Undertaker impression is quite awesome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Matt, is it over?
I mean, it's over.
It should have never begun.
The coach doesn't come out and say that, you know, publicly if it's not going to be over. The question is, do they go to the one everybody's expecting in Hector Neris, or is it Joaquin Benoit to kind of delay Neris' clock? That's really the only question.
So I dropped Genmar Gomez last night.
Oh, no. Ooh.
I waited no time.
Not me.
Like you barely knew.
I got new people coming to my team.
So we're going to introduce someone in a little bit.
But no, I didn't lose Genmar, though.
When I say I bury him, I bury him. So I'm going to be honest with you. I played on Tilt yesterday. He blew this for me. Genmar cost me a win.
But he got a win.
I didn't need a win. I needed him to either not pitch or just pitch a clean inning. Because then Cody Glover wouldn't have pitched.
I mean, Edwin Diaz had no right being in that game.
None. These people, they're out for me. So Genmar, I decided to say goodbye. And I looked if I should pick up Joaquin Benoit, Neris is owned. And I saw that it was Neris pitching the 8th, Benoit pitched like the 6th. So I decided that Neris was the guy and he wasn't owned. So instead, I dropped Genmar Gomez and I got a little younger. And Amir Garrett has joined the squad for this week against Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Corey, are you burying Genmar Gomez?
Genmar Gomez, I had a talk with Genmar Gomez last night. I'll be honest with you. Me and Genmar, we had a discussion, and I said to Genmar,
so you talked to him before Pete McKinnon had.
I called him in first. I said, listen, thanks for the win. But I'll be honest with you, I don't really need you for wins. I appreciate the win you gave me, but I don't need you for wins. The reason why you're here is not to win ball games. It's to get clean ninth innings and clean and rack up some saves for me. I told him, me and you have been friends. I like you a lot. I know your family. I like your family. I want nothing but the best from you. But I'm going to have to put you on my bench for this week. I got your back. I'm the guy in the media that's had your back.
I had your back too.
But I need you to
have your back.
Have my back in return. And this week you have to sit. I'm not putting you away. I'm not sending you out to pasture. But this week I need you to sit.
That's just a precursor to cutting him close.
That's what he said to me. He said, "Coach, it sounds like you're getting ready to cut me at some point."
And how did you respond?
I said, I have to introduce new members. I can't go on with this conversation. Right now, you're still on the team. We'll reevaluate next week. But this week, I want you to be a good teammate and root on your guys that are, you know, that we're welcoming to the team this week. And your guys that you've been on this journey with so far, you continue to be a good teammate to them, but you're going to ride the bench this week, son.
Well, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, in fairness to Genmar, it was just, it was just a crazy day for closers. I mean, it was like everybody, I tweeted out, I think Genmar Gomez disease spread throughout the closer class because everybody seemed to get tainted, touched up. And, you know, just wasn't a good day.
It wasn't Genmar's fault. He didn't mean to.
We will give him an A for effort, though.
I feel bad for Genmar, Corey.
I do, too.
He had never had a shot.
I thought everybody was speaking so negatively about him, and that affected him. If they'd have had more confidence in him, if we didn't have the fantasy community worried about Neris, if we didn't have the Phillies, you know, listening to other pieces and guys and stuff like that, he could have had. It became a mental thing with him.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all Adam Ronis' fault.
Let's not bring these people.
You make a very good point, Matt. Matt, you shaved the beard.
Yes, I did. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually going to bring it up at one point. It's like a clean shave because I shaved this morning. Matt should have shaved. You didn't get the
memo. No.
When was the last time you were clean shaven?
Like no facial hair?
Yeah.
Last time I had no facial hair, I probably was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh. Never trust a black man without a mustache.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's a Papa Parson quote? Yeah,
Papa Parson. You do need to get some more Papa Parson passages out there. That's yeah. pretty great.
Very. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. There you go.
Words to live by.
It's the end. It's the end.
We just put Jenmar Gomez
in the ground.
In the ground.
We'll miss you, Jenmar, forever. All right, take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about Corey Parsons' new players. Let's introduce.
We got to get some hype music now. That's right. Let's go. I got new players on right outside that door, ready to join.
We'll
Team
bring
Tower.
Them inside the studio. Coming up next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We gotta give a big shout out here, Rodica. We just got some news.
We had some very important news.
So not only is today the funeral of Jenmar, funeral for a friend, it's also a birthday for a friend of the program, friend of the show, Papa Parson.
Yeah, Papa Parson's birthday, April 10th. So you know. Shout out to him. Happy birthday. I'll holler at him a little bit later on. I'll give him your blessings.
Now, is there possible to get Papa Parson on for a segment a week or so? Is that possible?
It'd be very boring.
I don't think it would be.
It'd be very boring.
I'm very interested in what he has to say, though.
About
life.
His life in general?
Life in general.
Yeah, he can tell you about life.
See?
He delivered mail for 40 years.
Exactly.
So he saw a lot in Harlem.
Exactly.
At the Polo Grounds.
See? And you say he'd be very boring. How could you say that?
Yeah. He's not doing it no more. Now he's just chilling, retired.
Yeah. Is he a fan of dogs or is he an anti-dog?
No, he's anti-dog. He's anti-dog. Dude, you know, coming down 8th Avenue, it used to be before Apple and the NBA put all that money into Rucker Park. Oh, it would be like a lot of. You remember you? No, you wouldn't be. You wasn't. You don't remember the. Did you live in New York before you moved to Chicago? Did you grow up in New York?
I'm basically Staten Island and Brooklyn. Is where
okay.
I, you know.
So you don't remember the old school roller skating rink uptown.
That I do not.
All right, so it was like a real popular roller skating rink uptown. I can't think of the name of the damn place now, but it was that. And then it was a lot of like junkyards and stuff like that. So it would be a lot of dogs in the junkyards. But they would just run up to the gate. Hur, 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 hur. but they couldn't get to attack.
Okay. So now that we.
Okay, you ready for the new players?
Vavona!
Let's go!
Let's go! We got some players coming in the door here. I hear them.
We're going. So we got new players that we're going to introduce.
He's knocking on the door.
I had to make some changes to the Tout Wars team.
Okay.
First, I would like to introduce.
Here he comes.
From the Detroit Tigers, third baseman slash outfielder, our boy Sunshine, Jacoby Jones.
Yes! Sunshine. Sunshine.
Welcome to the team, Sunshine.
Now, how much did you pay for Sunshine?
It was in the teens.
Who did Sunshine replace?
Okay, so this is what we had to do to get Sunshine into the fold. I had Drew Smiley, right? Mm-hmm. So Drew Smiley was released. Sunshine, welcome to the squad.
Mm-hmm. Sunshine!
You don't need
Sunshine.
A downer sun, yo.
Sunshine!
All right.
Will Sunshine be in the starting lineup?
Yes, Sunshine is going right into the starting lineup. Have a seat, Sunshine. Jacoby Jones.
Sit your ass down, Sunshine. We have too many seats over here. Jesus, Sunshine.
All right.
Talking up.
We have a
wait.
Okay. Oh, okay. We've got a knock at the door. Who's going to open the door?
I'll go, dude. Hold on.
All right. There you go. Greg, go open the door. Hey! Look at this. Catcher. A catcher is coming in the door.
I needed a catcher.
Giovanni Soto. Welcome to Tout Wars team, Giovanni Soto. Woohoo!
Who did Gio replace?
Gio replaced Chris Herrmann. Chris Herrmann had 5 at-bats last week.
Now, who told you that?
You did.
Who tried to defend that?
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah.
You're right, I also added Giovanni in a couple of weeks.
Nice job. Man. On the same page.
What should we know about Giovanni Soto, Mondiga?
Nah, I just needed a catcher. He was the best option. There weren't too many good options. He has hit, three home runs this week.
He should
get the playing time, so I needed a guy that was going to get the at-bats. And it was pretty much between, him and Martin Maldonado. So
I have Martin Maldonado. I kept him. I'm going with him. Should I start Matt Kemp this week before we get to Corey's next player?
I believe he's coming back Tuesday. I double-checked that.
We'll throw him in the lineup then. All right. Corey, is there anybody else new that we need to know about?
Yeah, we got more players.
We got more
guys coming up on the team.
I got a knock on the door. I hear another knock, I think.
Got another knock on the door. I would like to welcome in to the
squad. Wait, I got to open the door.
Okay, go open the door,
hold
Greg.
On,
open
the door.
Whoa! Oh, look at this. How you doing?
Holy crap!
Come on down. Come get your seat on the bench. Veteran Mark Reynolds.
Whoa!
I'm not trying to get Reynolds in at
Mark Reynolds.
Get him in these games at
Mark,
Colorado.
That's a great pickup.
Got Mark Reynolds.
How much did Mark Reynolds cost?
He cost me $59.
I think that's a great buy.
I think so.
Is he facing like Jared Cozart tonight?
He's in the lineup already.
Yeah.
Mark Reynolds.
He needs to be in
the get in the clubhouse.
Get off the bench.
Get in the clubhouse. Get in the cage.
Sunshine, sit your ass down. Mark Reynolds in the lineup on the team. That was a great pickup, Corey.
Thank you.
Yeah, I tried to get Reynolds in one league. Somebody bid like $210 for him.
Yeah, I figured he was going to be somebody that was going to go for
a 40 something, I think.
All right, so we introduce you to Reynolds.
Yeah.
We introduce you to Giovanni Soto.
Yeah.
We introduce you to Sunshine, right?
Sunshine, sit down. Sunshine.
Jinmar. Get in the back, Jinmar. Get Jinmar. Stop the damn crying, Jinmar.
Hand out them jerseys.
I can't believe we didn't build another catcher. There was Tony Walters was out there.
Right.
Giovanni Soto was out there, and I stuck with Martin Maldonado. Why did I do this?
You ready?
How did we not? Something's going on here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm ready now.
All right.
Is there another knock on the door?
This is going to upset. It's another knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Jinmar, I'm sorry. You can get the door.
I got the door. Hold on. Whoa!
Oh, hey!
Whoa!
Now, don't get so excited.
I'm not excited.
Drew Story, ladies and gentlemen. Drew Story. Not much clapping for Drew Story.
I think he has as many saves as Jinmar, though.
Yes, he does. But he's going to be... We got plans for him. But him and Jinmar are going to work together.
Oh,
all right.
I don't like seeing Drew here.
Drew Storm's here.
I don't like
be
seeing
patient
Drew.
With Drew. All right, so you remember I had Bungho Park?
Yes.
Yes.
So I don't have. I got three plays on the disabled list. I don't have time to wait around for this guy to get out the minors. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just don't have the time for it. So I had to let him go. That opened up a roster spot.
I gotcha.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We have a knock at the door.
Oh my goodness. I'll get the door.
Oh!
I didn't see you come in!
From the Cincinnati Reds, Amir Garrett! Amir Garrett!
Wow.
Welcome, young man. Have a seat.
Oh, we're in Amir Garrett together.
Yes.
Martika, you got Amir Garrett?
I do not.
Amir Garrett, sit down, buddy.
Oh, God. Amir, sit down.
Have a seat. You'll join the rest of the pitchers in the bullpen a little bit later on. But Amir Garrett is on the team. And that's it.
Wow. You did a lot of the roster turnover. Do you have any fab left?
Yeah, I got fab left. Okay. This was a very good job by myself getting this done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes, you said, you got like four major injuries, so you got to make some changes. You got to shake things up.
Wow.
There you go right there.
Who did you spend the most on, Reynolds?
No, I spent the most on Amir Garrett.
No!
Quick question. Was Brandon Finnegan available? I'm just curious.
Was Brandon Finnegan available? You would have liked him?
I don't know if he was available in a 15-team league, but yours happened like 6 weeks ago. So
I was thinking about him.
He was available in two of my 12-team leagues, and I did bid. I think I bid like $93 on it, but he went for like $140-something.
Yeah.
He was a very popular guy.
Hmm.
I'm buying the change up fastball difference of 10 miles an hour.
Yeah,
seems interesting.
So Statcast is telling us.
All right, so listen to what else happened, right?
Yeah.
Anthony Perry welcomed Chase Headley to his team.
Chase is hot.
He also welcomed Wally Peralta to his team. That stiff Adam Ronis.
Yeah, what a stiff.
He welcomed Yunel Escobar to his team.
That's tough. Talking about stiffs, huh?
Come on now. That's not an Adam Ronis move right there.
Did anyone pick up Jimmy Nelson?
Jimmy Nelson was not picked. Yeah, Jimmy Nelson was picked up by Charlie Weegert.
I like that move. I myself picked up Jimmy Nelson in a couple spots this week. I think the new split change, he had 19 strikeouts to 2 whiffs.
Oh, okay. I gotta take Jim Martin.
Oh, man, the dude, Scott White from CBS, picked up Joaquin Benoit. How come I didn't see him?
Joaquin.
Oh, I should have. So then we got Austin Romine was added. I did the most damage. That dude, Senzatelia, was his name?
From the Rockies?
Yeah. We don't need that.
I did pick up a share or two of Freeland. For like $4.
So I was actually deciding between Kyle Freeland and Amir Garrett, and I chose Garrett because Garrett pitched in Pittsburgh this week and Freeland's back in Colorado. I know it's home, whatever, but like
Pittsburgh is a better place.
Let him do it twice in Colorado first. And Amir Garrett, obviously big time prospect. Aw. Oh.
Yes.
This is nice. I don't, who are we welcoming back?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right.
Good to have everybody here. Everybody make yourself at comfortable.
Sunshine, sit down.
Yeah, Sunshine. Sunshine's a young guy.
What is he doing here?
How about Chris Davinsky? Did anybody pick Davinsky up? Or was he? Man, he might have been rostered already.
No, Davinsky.
That was another guy I picked up.
I saw where you tweeted that, yeah. So now these guys, they get to join Anthony Rizzo and Neil Walker and Brandon Crawford and Jose Ramirez and Enciarte and Blackman and Fowler and Duvall, who's the only person that's actually playing well for me right now.
it is only 1 week, though.
Yeah, true. You know what I mean? So, you know, happy to have everybody. And let's go out and take this thing, fellas. All right, 1, 2, 3.
Right!
Nice.
That was good work. Do you have anyone you'd like to talk about here, Matt? Well, Genmar, we buried Genmar for me.
We buried Genmar.
Corey's new people here.
I do think, like I said, the guy that I wasn't on, I did kind of look. I heard a couple things in the spring about the new split change. Jimmy Nelson, I did add. I'm encouraged. He'll be in a couple of my lineups this week. And hopefully he can build on. He had an impressive outing versus the Cubs and an impressive spring when it comes to strikeouts versus walks. So I took a chance on him. And the other guy I added in a couple of spots as well was Chris Davinsky. He's not going to pitch 8 innings and strike out 14 batters every week.
Right.
But he's an option that I now have that he'll pitch multiple innings. And sometimes it's better to have that middle reliever who is dominant than, say, a seventh starter who, you know, is probably going to hurt you more than help you.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I haven't, like, mastered that yet, so I kind of still go with, like, the terrible starters.
I mean, it's, like I said, it was tough. There were guys out there. A lot of, like Corey said, Amir Garrett went for a lot of leagues. I did hold on to Alex Wood in the leagues that I had him in. In the leagues that I did not have him in, he went for, like, $75 or more.
Alex Wood pitches today. I actually chose Amir Garrett over Alex Wood. I know the potential of 2 starts, but I don't know, I'm not buying Alex Wood.
Well, the thing is, he might not even get 2 starts.
Exactly.
The Rich Hill might be.
That's why I bid on Garrett rather than Alex Wood.
Are you excited about Garrett?
St. John's product, right?
Yeah,
local guy. He's got good stuff. He pitched well day one. Why not? Like I said, I was choosing between really Garrett and Kyle Freeland, and I went with the guy not in Colorado.
I left CC on the waiver wire.
Really?
Yeah, I felt bad.
That's very nice.
Maybe I can get him like an
honorary. I think
honorary.
The one that might be. Big. I mean, he has pitched the end of the season. I know he had some good, and he's pitched better, but I don't know. Maybe it's a bias. I honestly do like CeCe. I mean, I'll never forget what he did for the Milwaukee Brewers a few years back.
That was crazy.
That was one of that was just like, get on my back. I'll pitch every day and get you into the playoffs. That was.
You got to go somewhere with your wife? Oh, you got like something like a fancy dinner? Like you shaved your facial hair?
No.
You just wanted to start over.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, okay, all right.
New week.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'd like to see you without facial hair.
Oh, you're never going to see that. You're never going to see that.
I stopped using a razor, though. I just used a little buzzer.
That works good, too.
I use a razor. In case you're wondering.
Hey, y'all heard about Otis Nixon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Is it
a Obie? No.
Isn't this a different Otis Nixon?
No, this is Otis Nixon. He used to play for the Braves.
The Red Sox, too. That's Trot Nixon.
Yeah. So Otis Nixon used to play for the Braves.
He's missing.
Yeah.
So
I hope they find him.
That is terrible.
Given that we're a week in, like, you're obviously setting your lineup here. So Monday morning, so you set your lineup for the week, or you take a look and kind of see what you want to do. So even in my daily change league, I reevaluate after week one. I'm looking like who I want to start, and now is like the time that I really get to understand like how bad certain players have been. Right, like Carlos Gomez. Did I know that he was 3-for-22 this year? I did not. That's bad.
Still early, though.
How was Yasmani Tomas for you this weekend?
Things went well. Yasmani and I are friends again, to be honest with you. Like
BFFs again. Huh?
I don't want to say that he's replacing Genmar in my heart, but we're getting closer. We're getting closer to that moment.
Yeah, he was almost at the door a few days ago.
Oh, my God. I wanted to kill him. Tim Anderson, 5-for-22. Not great.
But like you're saying, it's early. One week.
Yeah.
Keon Broxton got hit in the nose. He only had one hit all year.
Which one is the guy that keeps striking out?
Which there's a lot of guys.
Oh, that's Byron Buxton.
Yeah, Buxton. Yeah,
Buxton has got like a 57% strikeout rate or something.
They need to sit him down.
Well, no, they need to. They had him bat in third, which was crazy to begin with. They're gonna move him down in the lineup to seventh. I would have moved him to ninth. They just need the guy plays uber defense. He is gonna hit at some point. I'm a fan. Right now, just bat him ninth, bat him seventh, eighth, whatever. Keep him back there. Let the kid play, take the pressure off him, and, you know, first off, it's the Twins. What are the Twins, you know, Twins need to be playing the guy who was considered the best prospect in baseball for, like, the last couple of years.
I get it, but not third, obviously. I'm happy they dropped him down.
Their whole lineup construction season was moronic, to be honest with you. And I was a big Paul Molitor fan when he was playing, but I don't know what the hell.
It doesn't make much sense. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk more. We're getting into the games, of course, from this weekend. And tonight, it's Charlie Morton versus James Paxton this afternoon, I should say. Matt Modica is excited for that one. But Lance McCullers pitched yesterday. We'll start there, and we'll continue. We'll go around the league. We'll talk about some players you should know about, some players that you shouldn't know about, and players that you should know about that to get rid of them. We'll do all of that here this morning, the next hour and 10 minutes, here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. It's the Road to Experts! In the morning. My man Lance McCullers pitched yesterday, as I promised. Want to get into that. Hey, next hour, by the way, we're also getting to what Russell Westbrook history.
Record setting.
History. Will he be the MVP? We'll find out quite shortly.
Should be.
There's a debate there, I think.
I don't want to hit a Kawhi on this thing.
There's a debate there, in my opinion.
I don't know. If you set records like that, it's pretty hard not to be.
He's also called being selfish, but that's okay. Nevertheless, the Houston Astros won 5-4 yesterday in a game where Lance McCullers allowed 3 runs. But he pitched 7 innings, threw 100 pitches, struck out 10 batters, and he is still healthy. Your boy, Chris Davinsky, got the win after 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, and 7 strikeouts. 17 strikeouts combined for Lance McCullers and Chris Davinsky.
And on the season, Lance McCullers, the most promising thing with McCullers is, on the season after 2 starts, he has 17 strikeouts, which we expect the strikeouts, right? But he only has 2 walks.
I like that.
And both of them came in his first start.
Yeah. That is the thing to take away from this. He went 7 innings. I didn't think he was coming out for 7th. And I was happy to see
that. I was shocked when he did.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. And, you know, the only thing that will stop Lance McCullers this season is health. If he can get over that hurdle, then, you know, just watch out. Because, I mean, I'm excited. I have tried getting him and Paxton on as many teams as possible. And hopefully they both stay healthy. And that plays out to be a very positive thing this season.
If you was in a trade league, would you be making a move to get him? Would you try to?
It's going to be tough.
If you drafted Lance McCullers, you're not trying to trade him.
Yeah. It's... I mean, I have to say this is the first season, and I'm kind of grateful for it, that I play in 0 trade leagues. I never thought I'd say that as somebody that worked on Wall Street and traded stocks for a living, constantly moving
stuff. Was that fun?
What?
Trading stocks.
Oh, that was phenomenal. I miss it every day. I think I miss the money more than anything. If we're being truthfully honest here. But no, I just think when you play in a no-trade league, you have to draft well. You have to fab extremely well and extremely prudent when you do make the fab.
Yeah.
When you decide on who you're going to fab and, as importantly, who you're going to drop. Because that's not an easy test.
No, it's not. It's scary. It's a scary problem.
But it's tough with trades. I mean, because people are going to give you, they're going to tell you, like, you know, this is what you need.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're going to try and lowball you all the time. So unless you're willing, what I realized in trade leagues is I would have to maybe give up a little more to get what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way I would get trades done. Because, you know, first off, nobody really wants to be told, well, you know, your team, this guy sucks on your team, so I'm going to give you this guy to replace him. You know, that's going to kind of turn you off immediately. You know, some people think that's a good philosophy to do as far as trades. But, you know, some people like it, and that's great. Hey, some people like playing with quality stocks. Some people like playing OBP. Whatever you like, as long as you're playing fantasy baseball, I'm happy.
There you go right there.
The Royals yesterday were led by Nate Carnes, who pitched 5 2/3 really well, actually. 6 hits, 1 run, struck out 3 for the hitting side. Salvador Perez, man.
Salvador.
4 home runs on the season already. Mike Moustakas, man, 3 home runs on the season already.
Looks healthy, which is a good thing.
Yeah, he really does. He was hot toward the end of the spring. People said, oh, I got to pick Mike Moustakas. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to do the whole Mike Moustakas thing.
Well, he was making that turn before he got injured last year.
Yes, he was.
He was, you know, a player that was on the rise. He was starting to live up to the expectations everyone had for him. But, you know, unfortunately, he was injured. He's looking great. The thing with Salvador Perez is, he's pretty much become bankable for 20 home runs. He has zero
already.
Yeah, he has zero plate discipline though, and he's probably a guy. If you split his first half and second half, he's going to tire down that second half usually. Just the workload he takes on every year. So he's that kind of guy. After the first few months, maybe take what you got from him and then trade him off.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you with that. It's a good idea, actually. Great advice, man, Modica. The Royals also got a home run from Brandon Moss yesterday, his first of the year. So that's good. For the Houston Astros, 2 for 6 was George Springer, including his 4th home run of the year. How hot is George Springer?
Yeah, George Springer is a guy that I thought was going a little too high in some places. Like I said, I was willing to pay for him in, you know, the 3rd round in certain instances. I wanted him more later than that, to be honest with you, because I wanted guys like Cespedes in the 3rd round
right.
And stuff like that. But George Springer is, you know, man on fire.
Jose Altuve had a really cold start the week. He went 2 for 5 yesterday, as did Carlos Correa. You know, Astros lineup in general were pretty cold, despite being 4 and 3 now on the season. Evan Gattis went 2 for 3. He's one of those guys that aren't really cold. He's batting .357 in the early going here. Marwin Gonzalez hit his, what, 3rd home run already of the season? Where the hell did that come from, Corey?
Plate discipline, right?
Sure.
So you get your plate discipline together, start to put a little bit more loft on the ball, then it travels over the wall.
And he's a part-time player.
Exactly. It's crazy. Kelvin Herrera, he blows a save. He allows a solo shot.
Nobody's trying to put him on the pitch.
No. Jake Marisnik.
Only Jenmar.
Jake Marisnik.
Nobody else. Everybody else is allowed to blow a save. Jenmar blow a save. Oh, bury him. Funeral time. Oh, my God. Heck, Daenerys. This is ridiculous.
Corey, he's already in the ground. It's over. We buried him. We buried him. It's over.
My baby!
He wasn't the only...
That's the nail in the coffin.
He wasn't the only one to let him runs in that game. We'll go revisit Jenmar, Coda, the Nats, the Phils next. Roto Experts in the Morning continues for 1 more hour here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto.
Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Modica, Parson, Sussman. We are live with you until 10 a.m. Eastern time where the OGs come at you, old school fantasy. Gentlemen, let's look at the end of Gen Mar again. So the Phillies got off to a 3-0 lead very quickly in this game. They put up one in the second, put up a couple in the fifth, and all is right until the ninth inning.
Washington's a good team.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Zimmerman is having flashbacks of when he used to be good.
Yeah.
Where Ryan Zimmerman is third home run of the season.
Came off Gen Mar.
Off of Gen Mar. If you would have just gotten him out, he'd still be the closer today.
That's what I'm saying. It's one guy.
One guy.
It used to be an all-star, too. It's not like it was me up there.
I mean, we're focusing on Gen Mar.
I'm getting a Coder in a second.
No. Before we go to Coder. I mean, a guy that was a reserve round darling for me, and I had tons of shares of him last year, but I kind of stayed away this year. I wasn't sure the magic would repeat. But we got to say a little something about Jeremy Hellickson. I mean, he's had two impressive starts.
Yeah, he has.
Hellickson pitched five innings, allowed one hit, struck out two, walked one, left this one early with what was later called a cramp. We'll see if it affects him in his next start. But absolutely, Jeremy Hellickson's off to an excellent start here in 2017 after a bad spring. Nobody really thought Hellickson would come out and do it again. And here he is, Jeremy Hellickson, providing nice value to teams that drafted him late.
Where was his cramp at?
It was in his either shoulder or his arm.
Yeah, it's going to hurt if you're a pitcher.
Exactly. And then, as I said earlier in the program, Joaquin Benoit pitches the sixth inning here. Allows a hit. Pat Neshek pitches the seventh, and then comes Hector Neris on, goes an inning in the third, allows a walk, no hits, couple of strikeouts, and then Jen Mar in the ninth.
Well, I think Jen Mar's going to be pitching the sixth. And Joaquin's probably going to go maybe to, well, Neshek they like too, but I think, you know, seventh and eighth will belong to them if Neris does get the job.
Poor Jen Mar.
Jen Mar still got the job. Like, he hasn't had to talk with his manager yet.
Well, it's almost
like at this point. Yeah, at this point.
What time do you think Jen Mar get to work?
Today.
He's dragging it today. He's like, you know what?
Oh, you know what? I'm going for snooze. I'm going snooze. Cesar Hernandez was 2-for-5. He had the walk-off hit yesterday. It was a walk-off single.
They won.
They did win. They came back to win. Odubel.
Event
364 with an OBP of 481.
That's going to haunt you all season. But Ben Zobrist did homer yesterday.
Yeah, but Ben Zobrist is lying. He's got an OBP of 423. That's not better. What is it? What did I say? 480. Oh, God damn it.
Ooh, Greg, don't say that.
So, he has two homers, Ben Zobrist. That's not bad.
I have Ben Zobrist in a couple places myself. I'm just saying you loved.
I still do. But you know
you
what?
You should say, gosh darn it.
You know what? Odubel got caught stealing yesterday.
Tommy Joseph stole a base.
He stole a base. Odubel got caught stealing. Ha ha! Odubel Herrera.
If I was to see Tommy Joseph on the street and he told me he played baseball, I'd be like, you play for the Phillies, don't you?
Would you?
He just looked like he played for the Phillies.
That makes sense. Washington Nationals. As we said, Reiser in the monster blast. Three-run shot in the ninth. That was really all of their offense. Pitching-wise, Steven Strasburg, 7 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts. Matt, what did you think of Strasburg's performance yesterday?
Hey, he got the strikeouts. The first outing, he didn't. I mean, the 3 runs is not what you want to see.
Only 3 walks.
He went to 7 innings. That's what you want to see from Strasburg. Like I said, this guy is supremely talented. He really is. He's going with a new delivery, so maybe that's going to take a little time. But if he gets the innings, you're going to be rewarded. It's all about how many innings does Strasburg pitch. I mean, staying on the field, taking the ball every fifth day, is pretty much the only thing that I'm going to consider for Strasburg, because if he does that, you know, you're going to have the strikeouts will come. They will be there consistently. The peripherals, the ratios, it's going to be everything you want, and he plays on a really good team. Not with a good bullpen, though.
Sure.
Yeah, they got issues.
They've got issues, as we kind of figured out.
Probably make a trade to Genmar.
You think it's going to help him?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. So Strasburg pitches 7 innings. He's down 3-0. Sammy Solis comes into the 8th. Loves a walk, but no big deal. No harm, no foul. Then we go to the 9th inning, where Ryan Zimmerman's a 3-run home run, so they tie it up 3-3.
Yeah.
We go to the bottom of the 9th. They bring on everyone's darling, Cody Glover.
What happened to homeboy?
I had Cody Glover in my lineup, by the way.
What happened to homeboy, Blake?
This wasn't a safe situation. It was a tie game. 3-3.
Oh, that's right, a tie game, yes.
And but he hasn't been pitching all that great.
And they were away. So he has not been pitching well either. So everyone's kind of thinking, that, hey, Cody Glover pitching really well, he could become the closer.
Yeah.
So then he goes out. I picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I put him in my lineup. And then he blew this. A loss for Cody Glover.
Yeah, he gave you a loss.
Walk-off hit, Cesar Hernandez. That'll do it for the Nats yesterday. Who's going to be the closer here, guys?
I mean, DeSean Kelly. I mean, he hasn't really been pitching that great neither. Does he get a shot?
He's barely been pitching.
I mean, I think it's what we all thought. The Nats are going to go have to go out of in-house and go get somebody. They saw on Twitter that they signed Joe Nathan to a minor league deal again. That would be Dusty Baker-esque if he actually makes it to the majors and starts closing for them. I don't think anybody wants to see that. I think the Nationals are in too good of a spot with too good of a team to be playing around with that kind of nonsense. Either go out and get Robertson, you know, even a, I mean, it's too early for a column A type, but David Robertson is there for the taking if they want him. Or, you know, there's other teams they could even inquire about for arms, but it's something that they need to rectify sooner than later.
As I mentioned a moment ago, Genmar wasn't the only closer to blow a save yesterday, and neither was Cody Glover. I don't think he blew a save, but he wasn't the only closer to get rocked. Because you go to Seattle in a game that I had no idea even happened, because I kept checking the score. It was 9-3, 9-1, no big deal. Edwin Diaz isn't going to pitch. And then my buddy and I told him, oh yeah, I won this week. He goes, no, you didn't. I go, what do you mean I didn't? I go, how is this possible? So I watch the highlights, and I find out just how bad Seattle blew this lead. 7 runs allowed in the 9th inning by the Seattle Mariners. What is worse, Corey Parson, allowing 7 runs in the 9th inning or blowing a 26-point lead in the 4th quarter?
Ooh, this is these very similar options right here. I would say, and you blew this lead to who?
The Angels, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
They're not a good offensive team.
Cliff Pennington got the game-winning hit.
This right here is worse.
I don't agree. I actually think blowing a 26-point lead in the 4th quarter is worse. Because you also have the best player in the... Although, you get the best player in the world, the basketball team, and the baseball team, right? That's interesting. I don't know. To me, the 26 points is worse.
Like you said, I had no idea this even occurred until I saw on Twitter Christopher Carroll tweeted something out. Thanks, Edwin, for wrecking my ratios or something like that. And I was like, what?
Yes.
So, I mean, for me, even before Diaz got blown up, I was pretty pissed off at this game. Matt Shoemaker has not been getting it done the first 2 outings. It's kind of pissing me off.
The Seattle Mariners got a very good start from Hisashi Iwakuma.
I like him.
6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, struck out 2. The bullpen pitched fine. Not really.
This guy, Fiend.
Casey Fiend came in. He didn't get an out, Corey.
No, he didn't. He was a disaster.
Not one damn out.
He walked 2 people, gave up 4 earned runs.
They gave up 7 runs in 2/3 of an inning. Home run.
This guy sucks.
Yeah. On the other side of things, Matt Shoemaker does not pitch well. No. 4 1/3, 5 hits, 7 runs. He only struck out 1. What happened?
He couldn't finish anybody off when he had the 2 strike counts. Robbie Cano was just lighting him up yesterday. He got Robbie Cano back on track. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yes. The Angels then, by the way, they went to Andrew Bailey down 9-3 at the time. We didn't want to get the second win of the year. Campagnoli, until at least Houston Street comes back, seems to be safe. I know he's using them in that Swiss Army role. He warmed up in the seventh a couple days ago, pitched multiple innings on Saturday night to get the save.
He pitched really well Saturday.
But he pitched really
that
well. Really,
if that didn't cement his job, then you know Mike Schultz should be slapped.
It seems like that the only way it doesn't cement his job is that they want to use, they want to use him like Andrew Miller.
No, I mean, I just think, you know, look, the Angels are a team that I think could be better than expectations.
I agree. Remember the two of the people I liked over a lot was the Diamondbacks and the Angels. Those were two that I liked over, for the record.
And I think you also, you need to secure the wins, too. I mean, you have to get to that ninth inning, I understand.
Right.
But when you get there, you need to secure it. I think Houston Street was done last year, as I stated many times. Andrew Bailey is really not good. I know he got some saves last year, but he also had like a 6-something ERA. He's not a good pitcher.
No, he's not anymore.
And first off, he never stays healthy neither.
Correct. For the Angels, who did really, all, like I said, all their damage was 7 runs in the ninth inning. Anderson Simmons got the scoring started for them in the second. And then Albert Pujols hit the leadoff shot against Casey Fiend. It was, all right, no big deal. He just hit a leadoff home run. Fine. Continue doing whatever. And get nobody out.
Pujols is always injured, always going to be out, but Pujols always plays and always produces.
There he goes, right there.
I mean, the batting
first
average.
First home run of the year, though, for Pujols. He's batting .207.
Yeah, but I don't even. I was just week one. I really don't look. I mean, Nelson Cruz is batting like .081.
.080.
I'm not even worried.
Elderly guys take a little bit longer to get the blood flowing.
They just want to get warm out.
Yeah, exactly. He's Santo Domingo. He liked that tropical climate.
Robinson Cano hit his first home run of the year yesterday. A 3-run shot off of Matt Shoemaker. That was a big blast. He went 2-for-5, 5 ribbies total. Only batting .241 is Cano, but the OBP is at .290. Mitch Haniger hits his third homer of the year. Likes batting at the 2 spot. The OBP up to .333 for Haniger, despite the average sitting at .214.
I mean, Mitch Haniger, I was watching it the other day, and I'm like, this guy just keeps hitting home runs. But, you know, we have to see, like I said, it's week one. There are guys who are, you know, playing lights out. There are guys who are cold as ice. And, like I said, it's April. Everybody's got to remember, people are going to have really good Aprils that are going to disappear come, you know, June. So let's just let this thing play out a little. It's always good for you guys to start off good. Don't get me wrong. I like it. Everybody who drafts players that start off good like it. But, you know, baseball is that marathon.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at this Mariners team, a lot of people love. They're now 1-6 on the year. They haven't been home yet, but they're 1-6 on the year. You look at some of these averages. Nelson Cruz isn't batting 100. Kyle Seager's at .130. Cano is at .240. Haniger's at .214. Danny Valencia, their starting first baseman, is .143. Leonis Martin at .083. I mean, this is brutal.
Well, the one guy that you didn't mention is
Gene Segura. At the top of the lineup.
Just didn't get the respect all draft season. As this draft season went on, I got more and more into Gene Segura. It's just the guy who's going to score over 100 runs. He's going to steal you like 35 bases or so. And I think he's going to give you a decent average. I mean, this team is going to hit. They are going to hit. They're going to hit a lot of home runs. They're going to score, you know. Just be patient with the Mariners, and it'll all pay off.
Segura stole his third base of the season yesterday, by the way. Another blown save came in Pittsburgh, where Jimmy Johnson blew his first of the year, leading to a Pirates 6-5 victory yesterday over Atlanta. Pittsburgh was led by Gerrit Cole. 6 innings, 8 hits, 3 runs, struck out 4. That's a quality start despite
nice
allowing 2 home runs. It was okay. Julio Tehran pitched even better. 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs. Neither were earned. 4 strikeouts for him.
He did good, too.
Aroldis Vizcaíno comes in. He allows a run in the 8th. Jimmy Johnson allows a run in the 9th. Then you get into the 10th.
Jimmy Johnson walked 2 people.
He did.
Yep.
And then Jose Ramirez gets
always comes back to haunt you.
The bad Jose Ramirez. You don't walk the leadoff guy that doesn't. I mean, you don't allow the leadoff guy on. Rather, it doesn't work out well because then that's what happens when Starling Marte comes up and he goes boom, and then the game ends. And that's what happened there for Pittsburgh. The Pirates. It was Felipe Rivero that gets the win. Your guy Tony Watson's gotten the job done thus far.
He got the job done Saturday night, though it was. An interesting situation.
Save is a save, man.
We had a couple guys on. Brandon Phillips popped up. And Atlanta, it's the problem with Atlanta is they don't have depth.
Right.
And they had a, I believe they pinched it, Chase Darno.
That's not great.
That was the problem right there. I think Tony Watson got the job done, but it wasn't as clean as you would think.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I didn't expect it to be clean, so.
Starling Marte yesterday had a wonderful day. He went 4-for-5. 2 runs scored, 2 ribbies, including the home run to end it. 381 average, 417 OBP at this point. Your boy Andrew McCutchen's waiting for it to get warmer. That's the only reason he's not.
Well, what happened on Friday? Didn't I say you get 2 hits?
Yeah. He's learning.
He's learning, for sure.
No, you know, Andrew, Marte was caught stealing also, so he's trying to do other things.
Yeah, too. He was picked off, actually, yesterday with Starling Marte and caught stealing. It was not a good day for Starling Marte.
A guy that needs to just pass. Remain on people's watch list. I'm not saying
Adam Frazier.
Yeah, you just because where this guy might. I mean, I'm not saying right now. You just put him on a watch list, you know. But maybe in a month or two, he's got like several position eligibilities and
played second base, third base, and then back to second base yesterday, or third base, second base, back to third. Sorry,
he's played in the outfield.
Oh yeah, he plays so, everywhere. You know. His eligibility is going to be through the roof. He went 3-for-5 yesterday. He also got caught stealing. He's hitting in a major way. This could cause ultimately Josh Harrison to lose some time for the Pirates. Yesterday for Atlanta, Freddie Freeman went 4-for-5. He hit his first and second home runs of the season yesterday.
Freddie Freeman is good. Freddie Freeman is good at baseball.
And he stole a base. It's a monster day for Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying Freddie Freeman's ADP is too high. You know, Freddie Freeman doesn't steal bases. I know somebody was comparing him and Hanley Ramirez and saying, well, Hanley Ramirez is better a couple of rounds later, and he steals more bases. First off, Hanley stole like 8 bases last year. Freeman stole 6. And Freddie Freeman has the possibility of being a 300 hitter, 30 home run hitter, 100 RBI guy. It's Freddie Freeman, and it ain't close.
Dansby Swanson hit his first home run of the year. That was in the first inning against Garrett Cole. And then Markakis, Brandon Phillips, Tyler Flowers, all of them had 2 hits each.
Flower power.
Flower power. For Matt Modica. We'll take a break. We'll continue going over the games from yesterday, including Ben Zobrist's home run. We'll talk about the Cubs and the Brew Crew next here on the Roto Experts. A couple of my guys hit home runs yesterday. We'll get into those guys next. We'll start with my man Ben Zobrist. Cubs win 7-4. Proves a 4-2 on the year. They, I believe, have the home opener today against LA.
Versus the
Beat LA.
Versus the Dodgers, Alex Wood making the spot start for Rich Hill, who's already on the DL with the blister, unfortunately.
You're always just waiting for Rich Hill, and then boom, DL. Yeah. Almost immediately. Literally almost immediately.
April 7th was
Did you have that in the pool?
No, I didn't have that in the pool. Maybe May 7th, but not April 7th.
April 7th, you didn't have that one. Cubs yesterday, Jake Arrieta, a good start. 7 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs. He struck out 10 batters yesterday. No save situation because Hector Rondon allowed a run in the ninth. Wade Davis came in, got 1 out, 1 pitch. Very, very easy day of work for Wade Davis. Zach Davies, a lot of people liked him, Matt, coming into the spring. 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, did strike out 6. The ERA sits at 10.
Yeah, I have a couple shares of Zach Davies, too. It was a brutal first inning. I think he gave up 4 of those 5 runs in the first. And at least he settled down. He pitched 5 innings. At least he did that for you. I think he's a better pitcher than what he has shown. It took him a couple of months last year. From like June on, his control was impeccable. He needs impeccable control in order to succeed. Not a guy that I would give up on just yet. Maybe a guy I'd bench right now. And, you know, like I'm benching Matt Shoemaker in a couple of leagues. I need to see him better.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, you know. But Cubs are a good team.
Yeah, there's not many better, that's for sure. For the Cubbies yesterday, 2-for-5 was Kyle Schwarber, his second home run of the year. Ben Zobrist also hit his second home run of the year, as we said. Chris Bryant went 3-for-4, so he's gotten hot. He's, you know, gotten hot again. Addison Russell also had a nice day. He got the scoring started, I believe, with the double in the first inning. He was 2-for-5. 2 runs scored, 2 ribbies for him. Jason Hayward went 2-for-5. He also had 3 RBIs. Miguel Montero steals his first base of the year. Chris Bryant steals his second.
The Jason Hayward supporters are out in full force.
Yes, they are. Yes, it's, they are.
Swing looks great. And look, he's week one. He's made vast improvements.
Absolutely.
It's week one, though.
No question. You got to remember, Javier Baez not in the lineup yesterday. He did come in later for defense. But with Baez and Zobrist and Hayward and all these guys, you got to, this is one of those spots, if you have a daily change league, you got to have a bench hitter because you never know what lineup they're going to throw out. The Cubs, you never know, and it could be anything. Anyone could be sitting. You always got to pay attention when the Cubs are, certainly DFS as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's Madden, you know, the mad genius, whatever you want to call it.
Well, you know what? It's not, to me, it's not even Madden at this point. It's just like you have more than eight good players that need to be in the lineup every
day. Yeah, I mean, this is true. I think, you know, Albert Almora in center field is pretty damn good. That kid, every time I watch him play in the spring training or even this season when he's gotten in there, it's like this dude, John Jay, pretty much should be on the bench unless Albert Almora is not feeling
well. I just see no reason for John Jay to ever play with like the other guys you got on this team. I don't know why John Jay would ever be in the lot. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why they got him at the time. And look, the Cubs got deep pockets and stuff. But, you know, it's a good... watching Schwarber, I will say, I own zero shares of Schwarber. And a couple times I was going to take him, I just missed him. He's just a guy that's fun to watch. I don't know how great he's going to be. I think he's going to be better than we expect in terms of batting average. Everybody's kind of dogging him on that. But if he hits that 40 home runs, I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, but sure, that's a possibility.
For the Milwaukee Brew Crew, Ryan Braun hits his second home run of the year. Sorry, it was a three-run shot. Domingo Santana hit his first. You also had a one-for-two day from Eric Thames, who's been out of the lineup, I think, more than we expected here.
Well, the problem here is, and I've been tweeting this, is Jesus Aguilar had a hot spring and is the first baseman versus left-handed pitching. So this is not something I wanted to see. I was expecting, in a couple leagues that I do have Thames in, I was expecting that first base eligibility to come rapidly.
And it's not coming all that quickly.
No, I was very thankful that Domingo Santana did hit a home run yesterday to tell us that he was alive and well. Because, you know, it's getting crowded there. They just picked up Nick Franklin. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Milwaukee as well. So you want your guys to get hot and, you know, stay in that lineup.
Travis Shaw over four yesterday, batting 280 now. He had a really good first week. Keon Broxton over three, had another strikeout. I know he got hit in the nose. Came back basically the next day. Pinch ran, played in the field, got an at bat. Keon Broxton did not have a good first week.
No, he did not. As I just mentioned previously, Domingo Santana did not as well. But I think they're going to give Broxton every opportunity here. They want to see what they got in this kid.
I hope so.
And
Lewis Brinson got hurt, didn't he?
Yeah, Brinson, I think it was a finger issue with him. I don't know if he broke a pinky or something right, like that. But with Broxton, they do want to see what they have. I mean, it was you know, I drafted him over Byron Buxton. I think Buxton's going to be a really good player. But for this year, I drafted him because he stole over 20 bases in like 240 plate appearances. Milwaukee is going to run. Buxton can run like the wind, but he hasn't done it yet. So that's why I went that way.
As I said, I had another hit-a-hit home run from yesterday. That was with the Dodgers, who again played the Cubs today, opening day at Wrigley Field. Dodgers in Colorado won 10-6, and they had multiple leads in this game, about 4-0 early. Kenta Maeda led him back in the game. Let's talk about Kenta Maeda for a moment. Five innings, gets his first win of the year, four runs, five hits, strikes out five. I know it's in Colorado, but do we have any reason to worry here, Matt?
I really don't think so. I mean, look, last season, the last two starts of the season, I mean, the second half wasn't as good, but we got to focus on those last two starts and the playoffs. I think he was tired. He came from Japan. First of all, that's culture shock.
It's a long flight.
And they pitch once a week to pitch it every 5 days. So that's a big difference. You got to take that into consideration. Those last two games of the season really skewed his ERA and his whip. And in the playoffs, he just looked done. He was not the same pitcher. Yesterday, he was pitching well. The fifth inning, Charlie Blackman got him. I was praying for a little Maeda magic at that time because I was keeping my eye on the game watching the Masters. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. He got us the win. I mean, everything else is saying everything's fine with Maeda. You know, five strikeouts, one walk. You know, hey, look, Kenley Jansen's even allowed two runs yesterday.
Never happens.
Tyler Anderson, five innings, five hits, five runs, four walks, three strikeouts for him.
That's an uninspiring performance.
Indeed it is. Let's get to the hitting, though, because that's the fun stuff. Corey Seager hit his second home run of the year for L.A. So Corey Seager's doing well. 2-for-4, 2 runs, 2 ribbies. Logan Forsyth had a nice day. 3-for-5 with 2 runs scored. Justin Turner, 2-for-4, 2 ribbies. Dodgers lineup, mostly in general, They're hitting pretty well. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
For like the pre-goners out there, I mean, I had mentioned, is he possibly like a sell high guy the other day? And he has hit, he has like what, 2 homers, 5 extra base hits. But our boy Rob Silver, who won the NFBC main event last season, put out a great tweet the other day. 2 were off of Jared Weaver, Christian Betancourt.
Ooh.
Some other scrub, and it was like one good pitcher that he got like a hit off him. So, you know, let's tempo, see what he does. You know, he's got the talent, but let's see what he does. I mean, the dude got thrown out trying to steal third base with 2 outs in a game they were trailing the other night.
I don't have a problem with that. He was trying to push it.
Yeah, but that can't happen. That's like the unwritten rule in baseball.
The Rockies yesterday received a 2-for-5 day from Charlie Blackmon. 2 runs scored, 3 ribbies. His first home run of the year for Blackmon. Charlie also a cold start before that. 3-for-5 was Gerardo Parra. Nobody else got hits besides Tony Walters, and then DJ LeMay, who came in late. He picked a couple up as well. And that was really it for Colorado yesterday. Nolan Arenado 0-for-4 on the day.
Charlie Blackmon looks like Charlie Manson if he played baseball. You see that crazy beard and hair.
I saw the
beard. I mean, I think Charlie Blackmon is a baller. He's a hell of a player. You know, he's on
my tout worst
team.
He's in the clubhouse. And I told him about that beard, too.
Yeah, you going to make him shave it, too?
I like my players to have their own personalities, but I was like, this thing is leaving stuff all over the clubhouse.
Never trust a white guy with a beard like that.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Blue Jays and Rays and the White Sox and Twins, where the Twins somehow, despite everything, are 5-1 on the season. We'll break them down next to the Roto Experts in the Morning. The Twins are 5-1 on the season.
Mighty, mighty Twins.
4-1 was their victory yesterday over the Chicago White Sox, led by the revitalized Irvin Santana. Santana, 6 innings, 2 hits, 4 strikeouts. He allowed 0 runs after allowing one run the game before. He's 2-0 on the year. Is Irvin Santana someone we overlooked this spring?
No, I was saying he's, especially in deeper leagues, he is an excellent back of the end rotation guy. If you look at, if you go look up Irvin Santana's numbers from the middle of June on, till these first 2 starts, it's going to be pretty remarkable. It's got to be like a 2.20 ERA or something like that. Is Irvin Santana going to be like unhittable all year? Absolutely not. But Irvin Santana is going to give you the innings. He's not going to hurt you at the end of the season. And, I mean, these are guys you need to win. Look, it's great to draft all these upside guys, and we all want them to work out, but they're not all going to work out. So guys like him are assets that go underappreciated.
Brandon Kinsler gets his 3rd save of the year. Why didn't I draft Brandon Kinsler over Jeremiah Gomez?
It should have been.
Why? I don't know.
I don't get it either.
He was there. I just chose not to. Everyone says Brandon Kinsler sucks. But no, it's Jeremiah Gomez that does.
For the White, you change on people quick, Greg.
Don't you know me yet?
Yeah, my goodness.
For the White Sox, Jose Quintana, 6-3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. Oh, he's 0-2 on the year. Good start. Good start.
Yeah, no, it's a good start. I mean, the Twins, honestly, are a team that does beat up on left-handers. I mean, just ask Chris Sale. They kind of own him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there was one inning where, like, 2 outs, he gave up a hit, and he gave up, like, a double, and then wild pitch and then a base hit. So he really did pitch well. Santana pitched, you know, even better. He didn't give up any runs. So it was a good game. It was a well-pitched game. And, you know, you just can't stop those Twins right now.
The Twins were led by Miguel Sano, his 2nd home run of the year. 2-for-4, 2 RBIs. Now, Sano, the problem always was the strikeouts, right? Like, it frustrated everybody just how much he struck out. And he always felt like he was a one of three outcome guy, right? Walk, strikeout, or home run. And that's what you felt. On the year, batting 350, that won't sustain. The OBP at 458 won't either. Like, he's a very streaky guy. We know this. But after going in like the second or third round last year, where he went this year, like, that was a big time gap. Is Miguel Sano another one of these guys we probably overlooked a little bit?
Well, I'm hoping, I'm encouraged. Like I said, the strikeouts and the walks are something I've monitored all week for him. And it's been very promising. Can he keep up this kind of discipline? If so, it's going to pay off in a big way. And you get the third base, the outfield eligibility, which is nice. We all know the power is real. It's like tower power. So he's a guy that, you know, he's got a position now. Something about moving him to first base, I really hope that doesn't happen. I know they wanted to get Eduardo Escobar in. Look, leave the big guy alone. He likes playing third. You can give up some defense. I really don't care. But, you know, last year they moved him and it was a big issue.
You know what? And that doesn't really surprise me that these things do affect your mental stability. Right? Like, we saw Henry Ramirez when he had to play left field. Like, it affected him at the plate. And then when they put him at DH and they put him or first base, it's just like, do your thing, don't worry about it. He was much, much better. I think we're seeing the same thing with Sano at third base. As you're saying here, Matt, he's comfortable.
That's a big look. When you're confident and you're comfortable at your job, you're usually gonna perform a hell of a lot better.
Yep.
Look, anytime you start a new job or you're asked to do something new, human nature
takes
you
a little time. Yeah, it takes you a little time to adjust.
You also had Jorge Polanco go 2-for-4
hip, hip, Jorge.
With a couple of strikeouts. No, for the White Sox, nobody had more than one hit, and nobody really did much of anything. All singles. Although you did get a stolen base yesterday, but you know, nothing really of note.
For the White Sox, just a quick note.
Yep.
Avisel Garcia, who was once called like Baby Miggy
Miggy.
Like that.
Yep.
He's had a hell of a first week. He almost hit for the cycle on Saturday. So I'm just somebody to watch. You know, he basically, nobody wants
to. I always thought he was talented. Yeah. I really did. So. The Toronto Blue Jays fell to the Rays 7-2 yesterday. The Blue Jays got a bad start out of Marco Estrada. Finally pitched a bad start. I didn't think that's possible.
He's finally pitching to his fifth.
Five innings, seven hits, five runs, couple of walks, five strikeouts for Marco Estrada. For Tampa Bay, Jake Odorizzi pitches six innings, two hits, two runs, four Ks there for Jake Odorizzi.
Well, one of them was pretty interesting. There was benches did clear on the Steven Sousa slide. The Tulowitzki took offense to it. Steven Sousa was tremendous this first week. He was a guy that
excellent first week. By Steven
I really
Sousa.
Didn't. I don't have on any teams.
Neither do
I'll
I.
Be honest, but he really. I don't think he wanted to see this first weekend. He played so well.
Sousa 417 average if the first week, an OBP of 533 at his first homer, a three run bomb off of Estrada yesterday. Corey Dickerson also had a marvelous first week. Mm-hmm. He had his second home run, hitting leadoff for the Rays, and you kept wondering why he's batting leadoff and all he does is get hit bats.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be working, so I mean, I was kind of a little annoyed. I wanted Kiermaier in the leadoff spot, but Kiermaier seems to be doing fine batting second. For all the C Dick fans out there, he's, you know.
Some of us call him not C Dick, we call him Big Dicks.
Well,
why would you say that?
I think he appreciates that one, too. That was a little shout out for Yancey Eaton over there. But, look, the Rays are a team that's going to put some things together. They got Matt Duffy, who's on a rehab assignment. They can put him back into the lineup, that'll help. He's an upgrade over Tim Beckham. So the Rays are going to go for it for the first couple of months. If things don't turn out the way they hope, then there could be some moves.
Absolutely. For the Blue Jays, you also had Josh Donaldson didn't leave the game with that right calf tightness. It's the same calf that bothered him in the spring that kept him out for a couple months there in the spring. He says he's fine. He says he hopes to come back early tomorrow, as early as tomorrow, and play, be in the lineup. We'll see if the Blue Jays give him a little precaution, though.
I mean, Josh Donaldson's a guy that I love to watch play baseball. I really do. The problem is, you get a little worried about him getting injured and stuff. He's getting a little older. But, I mean, when he's on the field, he's one of the, you know, one of the top guys in the game to watch play. I mean, the guy
provides you. Hit a home run yesterday.
Yeah, he pretty much provides you with everything except for steals. But he's a hell of a player. Hopefully he's healthy and, you know, plays on.
The Yankees yesterday were led by CeCe Sabathia, who you didn't pick up, Corey.
No, I did not. I decided to go with the young man. CeCe was in the contingency plan, but you know, CeCe's off to a decent start. But you know, obviously CeCe's contract coming up, but still, I don't really think that CeCe is. This is a bad ball club right here. So I don't really think that CeCe has much life in it, even in the 15 team. What about you, Matt?
I mean, look, if you're desperate, the thing is, if you look at both of these box scores for the starting pitchers, it's very telling. Look at CeCe. He went six innings. That's great. Only gave up 3 runs, 2 earns. Okay, great. Gave up 6 hits.
Walked four.
Four walks. That's a 167 whip. Okay? He's getting a quality start, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, when you allow 10 bases, 10 people to get on base in 6 innings, you know, that's pretty dicey. Wade Miley's line was one of the most mesmerizing lines. Dude pitched 5 innings, gave up 1 hit, allowed 0 runs.
Walked seven
batters.
And the Yankees still couldn't score.
It's like impossible to walk seven and give up 0 runs.
It doesn't happen very much. No, it doesn't. For the Orioles yesterday, 5 innings, 7 walks, like you just said. It's insane in those 5 innings. The Yankees benefited majorly from Brandon Brock and Zach Britton having the day off. Darren O'Day came in the eighth. Came in the ninth, and let up a bunch of runs.
And Darren O'Day has been a hell of a pitcher the last couple of years.
Yes, so of course.
It was just an off day for him. The guy in the Yankees, I got to give some give a shout out to.
Please.
What's his name? Ronald.
Ronald Torres.
Yeah, he's getting hits for them. I mean, he really little dude, but you know. He's taking advantage of the opportunity that has been presented to him.
3 for 5 yesterday was Torres. Aaron Judge picks up his first home run of the season. A big shot in the eighth inning to tie the ball game. So that was huge for him. Gardner went 0 for 5. This gross Yankee lineup gets by with a win yesterday. 2 and 4, their second win of the year.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we need to touch on the Gary Sanchez.
I was going
to
get there in a second. 2 for 4 for Chris Davis, 2 for 3 for Mark Trumbo. Now, Gary Sanchez on the DL with a biceps injury. You don't know much more than that. You do know a bicep strain costs, I forget who it was now, 18 days, a pitcher last year, 18 days for a bicep strain, which I think the Yankees would sign up for right now. He missed 2 weeks, no big deal, whatever. I don't know how serious it is. It doesn't sound like they know how serious it is yet.
He's saying he felt a lot better yesterday. If you watch the foot, I was actually watching the game at the time, and that did not look good. Because he went over to the side, took like a little practice swing, and it wasn't like he was doing a hard, and he was in pain. So, and he's a catcher too. I mean, the guy does have a cannon of an arm. I mean, the Yankees are in the American League, so you have the DH, but I mean, I don't know if this is only going to be 10 days. This could possibly be longer.
Once we get word, you will have word, of course, on Gary Sanchez. Like we said, on the DL, it's been a rough week here for the Yankees. Sanchez on the DL. Greg Bird's hurt his ankle, and he has the flu. And their top pitching prospect, James Caprillion, he could be doing for major elbow surgery, we'll say.
Yeah, I think Cashman said
it's not looking good.
He's not looking good.
Which is a disaster for them.
I still don't understand. I mean, look, I understand they're the Yankees. They have the money. He's great at what he does, but I still don't get that Aroldis Chapman signing.
You know what? I just think they just, why not? You have the money.
Yeah,
why not?
I guess, like, you know what I'm saying.
One closer.
You know, if I got
games.
The money and I want to buy a Rolls Royce, you know, why not? Just
throwing it up his pocket.
Pretty much. And the hope is they're good in 3 years and you have Aroldis Chapman for that.
I guess the Machado Harper.
The dream's still alive. Hey, Kershaw, please. That's remember. Machado Harper Kershaw. The dream is
$400 billion a season.
That's why it's called the dream, Corey.
Those $2,500 seats would be like 10 grand.
That's why it's called the dream. Hey, a couple more games to get to. I also want to touch on Russell Westbrook. We only got 15 minutes left in the show. It's flown by today.
Isn't baseball great?
It's so much fun. Yep. We'll take a break. Wrap up the show. Coming up next. Wrapping up the show here. Roto Experts in the morning. A lot more baseball yesterday. I'm not even able to get to anything, so we'll just do a couple of quick hits. Arizona improves to 6-1 on the year with a 3-2 victory over the Indians. Patrick Corbin, Matty, 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, 0 runs allowed. Second save for Fernando Rodney.
That was a big outing for Corbin. He impressed. And the Indians have been a hot team week one. They have a very good lineup, so good job there.
Corey Kluba, 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them were earned. Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, both pitching this one. Neither allows a run. Chris Owings is his first home run of the year. Also steals 2 bases, his 3rd and 4th of the year. Chris Owings also a very quick start.
Chris Owings is a guy that went very, very late, and a guy that after 1 week has performed very, very well.
Paying dividends right now. If you got in on Owens, and I didn't anywhere. He should have been on my tout list team.
My man Brandon Drury is pitching, playing well.
He is.
As is Yasmani Tomas. Both those guys pretty hot right now after the first week. Last night, Sunday Night Baseball, Noah Syndergaard, Thor, pitched 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. Only 1 of them were earned, 9 strikeouts. For a while, it didn't look like Edison Volquez would get out of the first inning. He wound up actually going 7 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, did strike out 7. Addison Reed, Fernando Salas pitched brilliantly in the 8th and 9th, and this was an easy one for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that really excited me about this game, I mean, look, Thor is must-see TV right now. I totally love the guy. But Michael Conforto got a chance to play, hit a moonshot, a mammoth home run in Citi Field, like onto the bridge, pretty much. I mean, so hopefully... You know, I don't know what's going on, why he never gets to play. He's their top prospect, top hitter guy. Get him in. I mean, look, I've always loved Curtis Granderson. He plays a horrible center field now. He's like 36 years old. Mm-hmm. If you watch the weekend,
it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah. He misplayed some balls. You know, juice up the lineup a little. Well, hopefully Conforto can get out of Terry Collins' doghouse and get back into the lineup.
I'm with you. Jay Bruce, 2nd home run of the year. Conforto, obviously, as Matt just mentioned, what he did with his first home run. Bunch of guys caught stealing yesterday. GT really Muto and D. Gordon both thrown out by Rene Rivera.
Yeah, I mean, Rene Rivera is just... I mean, I don't think he was that good in the previous years, but last season with the Mets, one of the things I took away was, one, this guy can handle a pitching staff. Two, this guy, I was calling him the rifle man because he was just gunning people out. And he did it to D. Gordon. Then he got Realmuto. So, hey, he makes a case that I think most of the pitchers want him in there, but he's only going to be Thor's personal guy. And
He can play with other people. I mean, Travis Darno continues to suck. Rene Rivera will continue to see more time.
That's true, but I think the Mets are really going to give. And I think Darno, if he can stay healthy, does have upside, but he just really can't throw anybody out.
Scott Feldman pitched 6 shutout innings yesterday, 6 strikeouts, and the Reds bombed the Cardinals 8-0 as Carlos Martinez, 5 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs, for just 3 strikeouts.
That was what I would deem those box scores Freaky Friday. You know, like those lines were switched. You expected that from C-Mart and not Scott Feldman. But hey, look, at least Scott Feldman got the job done the day before Bronson Arroyo was pitching.
He did not.
Yeah.
Just like Jeremy Guthrie did not as
well. Yeah, like, what the hell?
Jeremy Guthrie, 10 runs in the first inning.
And for people out there, keep an eye on Joe Ross. He's probably been dropped in a lot of leagues because he's in the minors. He will be up shortly.
Well, they said they're going to keep pushing. It might push him back another week.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. You got to speculate a week ahead of time. It'll cost you a lot less money.
For the Reds, Adam Duvall hits his 2nd home run of the year yesterday, as does Joey Votto. Both those guys had big days. Adam Duvall also got caught stealing. Duvall went 3-for-4, now up to 348 on the year with a 375 OBP.
That's my boy right there. He's getting it done. So
yeah, I know.
So far, it started off to a good start, so I can't complain.
Ring the bell for him. That
sounds like a good one. Adam Duvall, they was hating on Duvall when I first...
I've been hating on him.
Yeah. Suarez was 2-for-4 yesterday, by the way. Billy Hamilton 1-for-5. Batting 286, but it doesn't feel like he's stolen all that much.
Yeah, but he's a guy that's going to steal. Like, it's just, it's like, you know, like home run hitters, they get into that groove, they hit a bunch in there.
Right.
That's what's going to happen with Billy Hamilton.
Finally, Boston and Detroit. The Red Sox win this one 7-5. Boston led by Rick Porcello, 6 innings, 11 hits, 3 runs earned, 8 strikeouts, 11 hits.
Yeah, I mean, this is Rick Porcello. I think last season was the first year that he didn't have more hits than innings pitched. Porcello is still going to... Look, we all know what Porcello is, and he's going to get the run support. He's better than... I mean, look, everybody wants to kind of shit on this guy, but he's better than that, in my opinion. He's not a top arm in baseball, but he is somebody that will give you solid... will be a solid starting pitcher for you. And the... I mean, Greg Kimbrel, like, what did he walk, like, 3 batters yesterday or something? He's... That's going to be an interesting thing. I was kind of iffy on Kimbrel. I know he had the knee injury. People said it was just that, but that's just something to monitor. I mean, it's his job, but something to monitor.
You got the second save of the Red Sox from Craig Kimbrel. While Detroit, Daniel Norris, 6 1/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. What do you think of Norris's performance, guys?
Yeah, I mean, Norris, look, it's the... facing the Red Sox, so you got to take the opponents into the Red. Mookie Betts came back to play. The Red Sox still aren't at 100%.
No.
Seems like everybody's got the flu. Even the announcer had to leave the other day. But what I've taken away from the Tigers this weekend is K-Rod looks like Houston Street last year.
Yep.
Done. I don't know.
Bruce Rondon sucks.
Yeah. Thank you. We got. At some point, the Tigers got to come to this realization. As you
He's
said,
terrible.
It sucks, and it's time to move on. That guy, the young kid, Jimenez, is probably someone that will appear in the next month or so.
Absolutely.
And Justin Wilson,
yep, former Yankee,
is somebody to be keeping an eye on.
Former Yankee, former Pirate, right there. Nick Castellanos hits his second home run of the season yesterday. Ian Kinsler, Miggy, and Vimar all each have 2 hits as well, as does Austin Romine's brother, Andrew Romine. For the Sox, they got a 2-for-4 day out of Chris Young, but they're not at full strength. They all have the flu. They're all banged up. Jackie Bradley Jr., we got to see how serious that one is. He's feeling a lot better day two. We'll see. Jackie Bradley Jr. could be out of lineup for a little while here. I did miss one game. That was San Francisco and San Diego yesterday. San Francisco were led by Johnny Cueto with 7 innings, 2-run ball. Mark Melanson finally gets his first save for San Francisco, while Clayton Richard put 6 innings, 5 runs, just 3 strikeouts here for him. Hunter Pence hit his first home run of the year, as did Buster Posey yesterday, while Will Myers and Yonhervis Solarte each hit their second. How hot has Solarte been?
Solarte's a good little player, and like I said, he's in the heart of that lineup. I think he's somebody that's finally getting some respect now.
Corey, Russell Westbrook is record-breaking triple-double last night. He's got it. He's gotten it. The Thunder are going to the playoffs, as are the Blazers, and everything's kind of set.
Yeah, so there you go right there. Got everything set. Got about a week away before we get into the NBA
playoffs. Who's your MVP?
My MVP is Russell Westbrook. I don't think there's no way you can give anybody but Russell Westbrook consideration.
Who's your MVP?
Especially after the record-setting.
You got to make a choice right
now. I'm also taking Russell Westbrook. Okay. One more playoff spot to be determined. That's between the Heat and the Bulls. Pacers just kind of need a win, and they'll get in.
I have a quick question. I really don't follow the NBA. But is it possible? Is the Boston Celtics going to get the
They're tied with the Cavs.
And possibly the number one draft pick?
That is possible.
That's crazy.
That is possible. That'd be just like the Pistons a couple of years ago, win the championship and have the number 2 overall pick and get Darko instead of Melo.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been crazy? What's going on the OGs today, Corey?
Coming up on the OGs today, we'll look at some of this week's 2-star pitchers that you may be having some thinking about, and we'll also look ahead to some recent roster trends and see what guys are being traded, what guys are being added, and what guys are being dropped. So that's what we got coming up on Old School Fantasy.
There you go. For Corey Parson and Matt Modica, I'm Greg Sussman. It has been fun. Corey and Matt will have you covered tomorrow morning when I am out, but we'll all be back together on Wednesday to do it again. OGs are up next. George Kurtz, Scott Angle, and of course, the fantasy executive for Chris Pavona. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Happy Pesach! We'll see you back tomorrow at 8 a.m.